call this meeting to order, the OPD 5 board meeting in the Mesquite office, June 19th at 3 p.m. And happy June 19th to everybody. What is it, Juneteenth?
Juneteenth.
Juneteenth. No, it's Juneteenth, but the federal government didn't have time today, so they did it last week.
Oh, well, good. You say got it in.
Yeah. Do we have any public comment? No public comment?
Do we have anybody in Overton, Stephen?
There is.
Oh, we do have people down there. Yay!
Well, I think at least Merlin's
No, nope, that's
there.
Us.
Let's see.
Just Merlin looks like.
Kind of lonely.
Oh, yes,
we're even. He's even
No public comments here.
Item C, do I have a motion for acceptance of the agenda?
I'll move we accept the agenda as presented.
I'll second it.
It's been moved and seconded to accept the agenda for this evening. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Okay. Item D, approval of the minutes of the previous meeting held May 15th. Do I hear a motion?
I'll make a motion that we approve the minutes.
I'll second it.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded to approve the minutes of our last meeting. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, chair's report, just a couple little things, but one important one because I always, these are our thank you cards. I'm not going to sit and read them all, from the recipients of the scholarships. For the Virgin Valley High School and Moapa Valley High School. And I just wanted to read off the list of who the scholarship recipients were this year. The Moapa Valley High School was Savannah Burt, Elise Daly, Gary Levitt, Grace Levitt, Isaac Linford, Allie Nelson, Jimmy Ward, and Sage Whitney. Recipients at Virgin Valley High School, Jasmine Aguilar, Bryn Andrus, Emma Avila, Kurt Felix, Marcus Moreno Cervantes, Jessa Owsley, Mariana Ruiz Arriaga, and Drake Wakefield. I think Richard did the ones in Moapa Valley.
I presented them. I did.
Right, that's what I mean. Yeah, and I presented them in Virgin Valley, and I found everybody wonderful. I mean, they're very gracious. In all cases. Okay, just a couple of little things. I did a thing because I'm campaigning, and I wanted to bring up that there were a couple of misconceptions, and I'm going to try and see if we can get them in our newsletter. One is that we have no backup if our power goes out. I believe that we and Dixie and Lincoln all kind of help each other out when those times happen. I don't know that it's a binding agreement or if it's just the neighborly that we have helped each other out at times. So I'd like some kind of information to get into the newsletter about that.
Okay.
And the other one was that was on Facebook about having our 5 miles of solar fields that we put in. And so I think people need to be aware that we are not putting in solar fields. Others may be. We may pull power from them when needed, but we do not build solar fields. So I think it's important that we get that out there and people don't have that misconception, and it will help them understand the business a little bit more, I think.
Yes, I got the exact same question. Essentially, at the at a meeting, and the person was very upset about us being and putting in the solar. And I said, well, we're not putting it in. It's somebody else. And, well, you guys are allowing it. So we don't have any control over that.
Yeah.
So I think that's probably...
And I told them that was BLM decides who's putting it in, mostly.
Or it's depending, it's private land. Sometimes it's the Indian group, right?
Yeah. It's not us.
Yeah.
Not us.
Okay. Attorney's report. He's having a nice time, and he'll see us in August.
Where is he?
I heard that he was in Europe.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
That's all the information I have.
He's not going to be Zooming?
Nope.
Not Zooming in.
That's a big Zoom. Yeah. Okay, managers' reports.
Okay, we don't have Scott here, but we have Christy, which is even better. So Christy, would you like to do administrative services report?
You won't tell him you said that, though.
You can.
Well, it's funny because this is the quarterly report, which he says is his favorite, but he's not here to present it. So, good afternoon. This is our quarterly report, cybersecurity training for the month of May. We had 100% participation. The message this time was that trust can be exploited. Social engineering is a powerful tool. Regular security training is crucial. Implementing multi-factor authentication and be cautious of public Wi-Fi networks. Some of our employees are taking this a little seriously. I forgot my badge yesterday and they gave me a hard time about getting in the building. Said we can't just let anybody walk in. internal phishing results, we had 0 clickers last month.
Yay.
Email and spam, so we had 38,388 emails, 3,072 of those were spam. Firewall blocks by country, Germany and Bulgaria were our high hits this past month.
Keep going.
Or not.
Or not. It's blocked.
Yeah. She's done.
It was just foreign Germany.
Okay.
Go again.
Is this where we're at?
I believe so.
Okay. Are you sure? Data backup and restore, we are at 100%. We are also at 100% system uptime. That's the slide we missed.
Except for this moment.
Yeah. Except for this moment. New automatic bill pay. We had 44 new customers sign up for automatic bill pay in May. That brings us up to a total of 9,809 customers that are using our automated payments, which brings us up to 53.46% of our customers. New customers on e-bill. We got 144 in May. I think this is kind of driven on if people are having trouble getting their mailed bills or not. So when we have a month that our bills didn't seem to make it to the mailboxes, we get a lot of signups for automatic or for e-bills.
Maybe we should have more problems.
Total electronic e-bills that we are sending out now in May was 5,317, which brings us up to 28.98% of our customers. The number of calls for May were 1,369. It does look like we're still a lot lower than we were last year. Average on hold wait time is still at 6 seconds. You can see at the beginning of the year when we had a lot of new employees, it seemed to be a little bit elevated, and now that's come back down into our normal range. Average talk time is still around 2.5 minutes. Total lock-in customers for May was 1,777. Nope, I lied. 2,070. Social media. So X is still a very slow building platform. On some of the forums that we have, a lot of the communicators and a lot of the different co-ops are saying that this is not just not taking off. A lot of the co-ops are keeping it so that no one else can mimic them and take over their name, but it seems to be a slow building process. But we do have 348 followers. They're just not really interacting. We've had no profile visits.
Is it a big deal for us to keep that? Like, does it take anybody time or?
We post on it. Anytime we post on Facebook, we just kind of copy the posts over. It doesn't take a lot of time to copy those over. There, like I said, we do have some customers. It just doesn't get a lot of interaction. We had 178 impressions, and we had 5 postings in the month of May on Twitter. New Instagram followers, we had 0 in May. We got 1 in April. We're not building a lot here either. Most of the people are still using Facebook for social media. Instagram followers, we have 484 total. Our reach for the month of May was 199. The reach is how many people saw our posts that month.
Oh, does that means we have that many people signed up, but only 190 or some looked at it that month? Is that
correct?
That's a reach means that.
Yes. Okay. Facebook posts, we had 7 in the month of May. We had 6 new followers in the month of May. And we have a total of 6,232 was our reach in May. So that's how many people we that actually saw our post. But we have 4,205 followers. And that's the end of our presentation, unless you have any questions.
Thank you.
It must be a question calling.
Uh-oh. It must be.
Oh, no.
I thought you had a question.
He had a question. He wanted it.
Okay, thank you, Christy. Randall, we'll turn to you for the engineering report.
Great.
Time out.
Oh. These things get out of hand.
So the RG number 2 line is complete, and it is tied into our ring bus.
Oh, great. What?
I'm sorry.
The RG number 2, 230 line is complete.
This is the new line from NV Energy, so that now we have 2 lines coming from Reed Gardner to our substation.
Fabulous.
So if you're ever out there, you'll notice there's 2 tall, very tall structures on the 138 line of NV Energy's. That's where our 138 new 138 line is going to come up underneath and out following our existing 138 line. The Tortoise to Gila 138 line is on schedule, in a manner of speaking, based on material suppliers. Anyway, we should have the complete set of drawings by the end, by mid-July. And that drawings will give us all of the bill of materials, so all the small items that we need to order will be in that list, and then we'll be ready to bid the project out. We plan to bid out 6 projects in September to invite contractors and bid them all out, and then have the work started probably in March of next year, March, April next year for the 138 line. And Rich, did you have some questions?
I thought that was supposed to start in September.
It was supposed to start in September, except that insulators will not be here till March of 2025. That's our driving factor on our schedule. Yeah. Any other questions?
What were the, you said 5 projects we're going to bid?
Yes.
You going to go over those?
I can.
No.
Yeah.
Just to briefly tell us what they are.
They're coming up on my next part of the list. Okay, Raptor Substation. The transformer for Raptor Substation is coming in August. Therefore, we needed to get the transformer pad completed so that it can cure. So they've started that, and it's ready to, they've set it up, and they've poured, actually today, they poured all the bottom portion in preparation to getting ready to do the stem walls in a couple days. And this Raptor Substation will be part of the plans that we release in September for bid. We also have the long drive switchyard, which will be another project that we will release in September. So this is the final grading on this, and it's hard to really see the impact of the area. So I'm showing the retaining wall now. That's how high we had to bring up a portion of it to level it up, because the slope of that area was so drastic. That's the retaining wall on the outside. And that's some of the people in the Pulte, that's some of their concerns, is how high it's going to be out of the ground, because we still have another 6-foot block wall that's going on top of that for the substation.
Wow.
This is the escape project where the solar panels are going to go. And you can see they haven't made a lot of progress. Steve, will you bring up that rendering I have?
Yeah.
So this is what it's going to look like when it's completed. That is the area, which will be 500 or 600 acres that they're going to be covering up. So at the very bottom, that would be the road coming up from Mesquite. that goes up to the water tanks. So that's the area they're going to cover. And it's interesting, on this project, they're going to use the contour of the slopes on there for the panels. So they're not going to do a lot of grading out there. That's one good thing.
What's the, do you know how to read that thing? Like, what's the gray areas and the yellow areas?
Yeah, the gray areas are all the panels.
And the yellow areas?
The yellow is just open area.
So that's unusable. The motorcycle trails can go through the yellow area?
Yeah. Yeah, good luck there. You're going to have to pop a wheelie over the fence and then jump in there and then jump out.
My question is, if they're not going to be leveling or anything, and the differences in terrain, are there going to be flooding issues out there with washing them away or anything like that?
Not really. You'd have to have some heavy monsoons to wash that away. I mean,
you know, like August?
Yeah, they won't have any issues because all of those panels are built on foundations in the ground.
They're built up on foundations. Yeah,
they're up on the ground, but there's foundations in the ground that hold them in place. So that is my report. Do you have any questions? Okay, thank you.
Thanks, Randall. Corey, line ops.
Can you send me that picture for me?
I can't.
I didn't know if you could. Okay.
But somebody could share it with you, but not me. It could be shared with you, but not by me. Somebody has access to it because it's on our...
The answer is no.
The answer is no.
That's all right.
Better move on.
Yeah, let's move on.
So, hookups for May of 2024. We had 47 residential and 6 commercial for a total of 53 hookups for the month of May. That gives us at our second quarter at 146 total hookups. Year to date is 302 number of hookups. We're going to catch 2023 in a couple of months, I think. So, locates and inspections and audits. We had for locates 166 this month, and locates 98, and audits 392.
What's the audit?
So system audits, the number of sites that we're actually visiting, inspecting. So our construction work plan maintenance plan, we have to visit sites. It's on a 7-year cycle that we actually visit every site in the system to make sure that we're maintaining.
Nothing's happened around.
Correct. And we find problems. And so that's the intent, is to manage and mitigate any outages. That's the intent.
So they visit every pole, every transformer, every secondary vault, every primary vault, anywhere
so we've
have.
Seen everything.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it takes 7 years, so you said?
Yeah, to do the whole system.
Imagine some things get saw a lot more often than that. But
yeah. Yeah, so it's a requirement. Good. So outages, we had a total of 38 outages this month. So we had a significant amount. 27 of those outages were for maintenance, making repairs or mitigating potential nighttime outages or changing leaking transformers, those type of things. Mm-hmm. 11 of those were non-planned outages. The number of customers that were affected by those outages, it was 5,553. The total customer hours that were affected was 13,882. So largest we've had for the month or for the year to date. Not really bad in the overall spectrum, but still it appears to be bad. But again, most of those were for maintenance. And that leaves us still. The time our customers went power was at 99,898.
Corey, was the largest of those that where we had the vault or the switch that was hit by the pickup? Or was that in this month?
That was this month.
That was in this month?
Okay. Tree branch in Moapa.
So the tree branch in Moapa was significant. I'd have to go back and look at those reports. I looked at them earlier this afternoon, but I don't remember which one was the bulk of that. But there was, because there were so many, they add up. The if you were to take and dissect it, it would be real similar to the other months. There was just more of them in this one. Any other questions on that?
June's probably going to look similar on that.
We'll
see.
We'll see. We've done pretty good so far.
The transformer one, that was pretty
that
big.
That was a large one, but it won't equate to these numbers, you know, just that one. Anyway, safety program, 6 years, 8 months, and 6 days, no lost time. Safety topic for the month of May was pulltop and bucket rescue and bee stings. We did have, NRACA, their safety director, Bud Branham, and his replacement as he's retiring, came out and visited our site and visited with our employees. They did a survey with the line crew. It was an anonymous survey. And then they show up on site and then dissect the survey. And the intent is to find out where blind spots might be in safety and where we can improve. It was a very beneficial, I felt like. So the way that it works is that they do the survey with the line crew, and that's anonymous, and then they meet with the crew leaders. And then after they spent about 3 hours with the crew leaders going over, and they had big post-it notes all over the boardroom walls, and then they meet with the management group and discuss all together the next steps, the follow-ups, and what the findings were. Now, overall, they were very, very complimentary of our safety culture, the openness of our crew to talk about things, and they were very, very, very complimentary, and it was a great visit. And we found things that we need to work on, and that was the most beneficial part. Additionally, we had, over a series of months, we've worked with Department of Homeland Security for security assessments of our facilities and transmission system. That assessment has now been completed. We just want to make you aware that has taken place, and we feel it was very, very beneficial.
Do they look for security threats? Is that what the Homeland Security is doing?
Correct.
Yep. Good deal.
Yeah. Any other questions?
Bee stings, do we keep it? Does in each place, do we have an EpiPen?
We do not. We have, but the problem is that
you have to get a scribe.
Yes, and we can't administer that. That has to be. If they have it, then
Well, I'm sure most fire departments have one on each of their ambulances.
Yeah.
So.
Okay. Yeah, but there's not a lot we can do in that regard. So this is the pictures of Pulltop Bucket Rescue. Last month, it was a very there were a lot of office personnel came out. I felt like it was a very well received and enjoyable event. There was at one time I was there where Steve was narrating what was taking place with some of the ladies from the office. It was really, really a good experience in my opinion. This is a pole change as we did a lot of work up to the old Thai Arabian ranch that's been purchased, and they moved a lot of dirt and we did some realignment and lowering of some power lines during that work. And it looks really good now. It was a little bit aged as well before that. This was a pole change on Kitty Hawk here in Mesquite, going up to the airport. A transmission with the distribution underbuilding. The guys did a great job and very, very safely and well done. And then last, we have...
the best.
those from Overton may have saw the flag that was flown out by the office for Flag Day. My favorite is the aerial shot of the folding of that that flag in just before great. Sunset as they took care of that. All volunteers as they helped to
that's great.
To take care of yeah. that. So that's very important. Unless there's any questions.
I have one question. Thai Arabian Ranch, with the changes up there and everything, how is Pioneer Road?
The same.
The same, but it's passable still?
Yes.
Only because some people complained that it wasn't passable, and I told them it was temporary because of the construction going on.
So there was a time if you were going up Pioneer Road and you wanted to drop back down onto the railroad tracks, that wasn't passable for a time.
Okay. But it's, and it was just for a while, though, right?
Yeah.
Okay. And that's what I told him. I said, just be patient.
But that's, I think that's probably both railroad right away and might even be private property. So,
yeah.
I mean, that's.
Righty. Thank you.
Thanks, Corey. Kevin, sub ops.
Okay. Probably mostly all aware, we had a car versus switch accident outage on June 13th, about 4:15 p.m. is when it came in. There we go. That truck hit that, and it created a three-phase fault, all three phases to ground. So the current magnitude and picked up so quickly. It went through all the two shots on the recycle of the recloser, and it also blew all three fuses on the transformer. And so the line crew went to work on replacing the switch, and the substation crew went to work on replacing the fuses. Because of the magnitude of it, we got it done quite quickly, I think. We all worked really good at restoring that power. So... I even actually got help out on the substation, so it was kind of fun for me.
So is that thing reusable, or
no?
No,
it just tore the guts out of it.
I was really impressed with our crew. I drove over, and by the time I got to Mesquite, they had changed out the switch. They'd done it that fast, and that's really quick. Did a great job.
Yeah, looks kind of a remote area. Where is that at?
That's across from the rec center.
By the pickleball courts.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, the ball fields, I guess. Across the street from the ball fields.
It's way far off the road. I'm like,
yeah. What were they doing out there?
What do you do?
It's on a slight curve. And so I guess the guy reached down to grab something on the floor of his pickup and didn't realize the curve in the road was there and went straight into the switch.
Hmm. Hope you guys get insurance.
Does car insurance have to pay for that?
Yeah.
Yes.
So there's...
He had good insurance.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Thank God.
So there's...
Not one of those non-insured people.
Yeah. This the picture on the left is the fuses that opened up on the transformer, and you can see them hanging open. Mm-hmm. That's what they should do when they blow is hang open like that. That's how you tell. Dave Everett drove outside the substation, said, the fuses are blowing. I'm going up to get the truck, so... He ran up and got the truck because he could see those fuses were
open. Wow.
And then the picture on the right is the completed job. They had the finished
switch.
Was the
person okay?
Yeah, he was fine.
He was fine?
Yeah.
That's like a lot of damage.
Yeah, the truck was pretty damaged too. Yeah. So. Any questions on that?
No.
Okay. The relay panels for the Tortoise 230 kV ring bus have been... awarded to Hunt, ICC out of Salt Lake, to the price tag of $123,000. They will be delivered in October of 2024. It's three panels plus some rework parts to do another panel in there. So that's for the expansion on that 230 ring bus. We had ECI do a load flow study earlier this year,
and it showed some areas where we need some improvement. Some of these areas just simply moving one phase to the other to balance out the loads on the feeders. Some were, you know, adding a capacitor bank with a smart controller so that it can be turned on and off when it's needed and not stay on or not stay off, so it actually works good with the system. And those are fairly simple and relatively inexpensive. Capacitor bank's not cheap, but still relatively inexpensive. Some of the projects that they suggested were on the expensive side. I did kind of anticipate some of it, but not nearly enough on 2024 budget. And so we've been working with an engineering firm to develop some scope of work, some project to develop some to develop kind of an idea of what we need to do to make these projects work. So one of the examples is the Mesquite substation. We want to go from it's been suggested we go from a 20 MVA substation to a 40 MVA substation. Right now we've got two 10 MVAs, which equals the 20. He wanted us to pull those two 10s out and put two 20s in. It sounds easy until you start looking at how are you going to control it. You want to put a breaker in front of it. You got to put regulators behind that bigger transformer. It's got to put a bigger, everything just starts adding up. So we're looking at some designs to kind of help us out with that. So we're working with him on those. And hopefully we can get those designs and get us the money that we need for the 2025 budget. So
is loads what's driving their concern?
Yeah, loads and mostly loads. And it's mostly in the older part of town. You wouldn't expect that to increase load, but it is. You know, a lot of those big apartment complexes that are going in, the multifamily dwellings, things like that are increasing the load down there on that side of town. So that's where a lot of it is.
It's nice to see you being proactive to take care of that rather than, you know, researching it before it's a problem. So thank you.
We'll try to keep ahead of the curve. So, and that's my report. If you have any questions.
Okay, thank you, Kevin. Just to piggyback on Kevin's last discussion on the load flow study, we've included some of those things on our capital projects list, the substation transformers and some of the more expensive items were already included in there. You'll see some newer items when we start discussing the capital projects come September, October, November. That's the time frame where we usually go over that. You'll see a few more added things in there because of that report and the loads that we're seeing. So appreciate Kevin working on those things. At the first of my report here, I want to just give a quick report on a change of plans or a new direction from NV Energy. In the past, they've participated in the CAISO Energy Imbalance Market, what they call the EIM. NV Energy just announced that they're also going to join the Extended Day-Ahead Market. The acronym for that is EDAM, and so you'll see more news about that coming in. The reason they're doing that is they say that, and this is from their one of their press releases, they can better plan resource needs, fully optimize their generation portfolio, and reduce costs for customers through their membership. And essentially what the EDAM does is it allows for more renewables to participate in the market, that it is a shorter scheduling time, and as you know, most of the utilities are moving toward more renewables and battery projects, and so this participating in this EDAM not only allows NV Energy to install the renewables on their system, but it allows them to share those into the market and to be able to schedule those for the benefit of the market. Now, that's a great plan by NV Energy. One of the questions we have is how does that affect us? And all of us at NREA are concerned about that. We've scheduled a meeting, or we're in the process of scheduling a meeting with NV Energy so that we can discuss the effects, if there are any, on us. So we'll investigate that and talk about that and work with NV Energy to work out any concerns that we have.
And this, when we're talking about Nevada Energy, I was in Reno, and my son was having an activity, and Ryan Bellows came over. We got talking about Nevada Power's recently approved a $2 billion transmission upgrade, and my question was, what effect is that going to have on our transmission rates? You know, when they add another $2 billion to it.
What'd he say?
He says they're going to be going up.
Okay.
But they're building some more interconnect lines from north to south and east to west.
Yeah.
Wasn't that ruled against, though, that they had been overcharging because of that? They were including new construction that wasn't required to help us at all. It was purely on theirs.
Well, there's been a couple iterations of this. Originally, the projects were denied by the PUC, but when NV Energy submitted their integrated resource plan, the legislature took that up and mandated those through legislation that those be built. Mm-hmm. And so that cleared the path, although, you know, they still have challenges that, and I'm not aware of those, where I'm not involved in those discussions, but they still face challenges on those things.
Along the Highway 50 corridor, some of the people in that area don't want it coming through, but, you know, we're talking 25 people, you know, so it's going to go through.
Yeah. Well, like I say, it was mandated by the legislature, so they will work it out and make it happen, I'm sure.
I thought this had to do with the cost allocation, because in our transmission charges, they maintenance, and they included those new lines, or they were going to.
Mm-hmm.
And that was stopped originally.
So that was our discussion with NV Energy a few years ago, is they were including that in our transmission rate, and that was not permitted under our grandfathered contract. But in the future, when we move to a full NITS customer, and that's a network integrated transmission services, that is what is used by all of the large transmission participants to use each other's system. Once we become a full NITS customer, those changes in their transmission rate will affect us. So we'll discuss that with them and express our concerns and do what we need to do. The alternative to that is we build our own lines from Tortoise Substation to Meade Substation and bypass NV Energy. That's not a very eloquent situation or a very economically feasible situation either. So we'll pay those transmission rates and do our best to keep them as low as possible. Next on my list is our power supply transition with Tenasca. They've been in contact with Kevin's department for the last week or two, and they're getting all of their data exchanges and meter readings and all their capabilities set up, and it seems like that transition seems to go fairly smooth. Is that correct, Kevin?
We're going to see if we can make it go smooth.
Okay. Yeah. Well, a couple more things to work out still. Just want to let you know, if you're interested, our peak this year is at 111 megawatts so far. That happened when we hit that first hot spell in June. I anticipate it's going to go up from this as we hit the dog days of summer in July and August.
What was the peak last year?
116 megawatts, so we're just five below, and I anticipate we're going to surpass that this year.
Is that going to push us out of our sweet zone with Morgan Stanley?
There will possibly be some bandwidth charges, yes. Yeah, it's not based on the peak. The capacity is based on the energy use, but when that peak goes up, we use more energy. So that will lead to, I'm sure, some expenses. That's usually when we see those, is in the early spring or during the summer. Final thing on my report, just want to let you know that the ad closed for our customer relations service. We did receive one response. We're meeting tomorrow to discuss that with an individual, and we'll give you a report on that after our discussion. So,
I'm surprised. Only one response.
Only one response.
Wow. It's a full-time position, right?
No, no. This was a part-time position. Yes. Yes.
I understand.
Yeah. And that's my report, unless you have any questions for me. Do you have anything to report with Lisa?
No, thank you. Though.
Do you want me to just turn it to you and you'll...
I have a question for you.
Yes.
Just watching stuff, the natural gas has gone up. Have any indication of what the rate would be today or have really tracked that?
So I asked them before last board meeting. I didn't this time because they were working on this transition, but... When I talked with him last month, he said it had bounced around that number where we were. He said it went slightly above and slightly below, but it stayed in that general area.
Oh, now it's better if we don't know.
I think as times get hot and the energy shortage hits in California, we'll see those prices go up. And then in the fall when... they start talking about getting enough gas supply to meet the winter demands in the east. We usually see the price. So it's a seasonal spike. That's one of the reasons we tried to negotiate that contract in the spring is we avoid those types of things.
Jonathan is our newly hired accountant, and he will be doing our presentation tonight. So I'm going to turn it over to Jonathan.
All right.
He's not even that new at this point.
New as of this year.
All right, we'll begin with our statement of operations on line one here, beginning with our operating revenue for the month of May. We had a total of $3,488,000 here on column D. On line three, we have our cost of purchased power, which was $1,835,000, which contributed to our total cost of electric service of $3,057,000 on line 20. Down on line 22, we had our total interest received on our investments at $131,000, which contributed to our line 29 margins for the month of May of $562,000. If you look over here at column D, these are our year-to-date margins for 2024. We're at $3,418,000.
Margins of last year, that's good.
You're great.
Oh, sorry. Did you have a question?
I just saw we have more margin than last year, so that's good.
Yeah. On our balance sheet, are beginning on the asset side. I don't know what this mouse is going to hear this.
Turn it on and off real quick.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Beginning on our asset side, on line three, our total utility plant value, we had a value of $172,726,000. On line eight, we, in addition to our utility plant, we have investments in associated organizations. On line 15, cash. Line 18, temporary investments. Line 23, materials and supplies, all contributing to a total asset value of $178,063,000.
John, if I could just jump in there for a second. If you'll remember, we borrowed some money last year, and that put our temporary investments up to about $46 million. So between our margins and what we've been using in those investments, our investments have gone down $10 million to finish the projects that we've done, which are the Gila substation, the ring bus at Tortoise, the substation at Falcon Ridge, all those projects, that's what we've spent on those so far.
Great. So, thank you. Over on our liability side, starting on line 36, our total margins and equities has a value of $118,901,000. And also included on our liability section is long-term debt, for accounts payable and other deferred credits, giving us a total liability value of $178,063,000. This is a breakdown of our cash balances. At the top there, towards a little bit down, we have our monthly ending balance in our checking accounts, which is $3,685,000. And for our Morton Asset Management account, our investments there are valued at $32,779,000. And we have an average rate of return of 4.5% in those assets. And then in our Goldman Sachs account, we have a value of $2,601,000, and our average rate of return on that account is 5.2%. Here's a breakdown of our assets in our Morton account by security type in the pie chart, and then by security duration in the bar graph below. This is really difficult to read, but we provide it for you. We provide it for you in the presentation for your review before our board meeting. And this clicker isn't working quite. Oh, here we go. Maybe we got it. Okay, here we go. We want to draw your attention. This is a list of all the assets owned in our Morton asset account by security, and we've sorted these by the purchase yield from least to greatest. And so if you look up here at the top, this is our purchase yield column right here. And down here at the bottom, our average rate, if you can see that, is average rate of return is 4.56%. And then in addition to that, if you can see starting about right here and going all the way down to the bottom, we have about three quarters of those assets are all generating returns of at least 4% or higher. 4%, 5%, and even some at the bottom we have at 6%.
Good work.
Thank you. As of May 31st, 2024, OPD had a total of 18,450 customers. Down here at the bottom, we have our ratios that we use for our strategic planning and also to determine the financial health of the district. Over on the left, our MDSE, or Modified Debt Service Coverage Ratio, with estimates through the end of the year, is 2.43. Our equity as a percentage of assets is 66.77%. And our TIER, or Times Interest Earned Ratio, is 5.6. Connection fees. For the month of May, we received a total of 49 connection fees here, with a total value of $28,615. Our current billing arrangements comprise 31 residential customers with a value of $3,815 and four commercial customers with a value of $567. Our Roundup program balances are displayed here with our Virgin Valley.
Question for you.
Yes, sir.
On the connection fees, you know, you have 78 and you have 49, but the same amount. What drives that significant difference?
So that's a good question. We had a similar question in the reverse from the prior month. So these are, in this month in April, we had 78, which in March we had 78. But if you look at the total value there in March, it was 28 in April, 40 in March. So these were smaller connection fees. The majority of those were apartments that were coming online. So the connection fees are less.
Less than, yeah. Depends on the size of panel, depending on how much the fees are.
So we had more basically residential ones than apartments, larger.
The affordable project is renting them out right now, and they've got about half rented. So That's almost 49 right there. Yeah. So, and they're all small apartments, so.
Yeah. Any more questions for this slide? Okay. Here is our breakdown of our long-term debt with CFC, which is held exclusively with CFC. Our balance is shown on our liability section of our balance sheet. Right here we have $49,602,000 in our outstanding debt. If you go back up here at the top, our next quarterly payment is due this month in June, and the amount of $1,423,000, and that payment is scheduled to be made on time and paid in full. If you look here, this particular loan is due for repricing in October, and we have plans to address that next month to determine the course of action that we'll take, if we will extend that loan or if we will pay it off, depending on what the new repricing rate will be. And we will discuss that and or present that to you in August, or which is at our next board meeting, or if you would like information before that, we can communicate with you.
Can you kind of tell us what CFC rates are? Are they in the 6% range? Or?
I am not for sure what the CFC rates are. Lisa, are you aware of what the...
We have not got quotes yet because we can't lock until July, so we have it on our calendar to discuss with them at that time.
I would just think they would pretty much follow the federal rate, wouldn't they?
Not always, but it is the only thing that I feel very certain about. It's going to be higher than 3.71%.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah.
So our strategy will be, depending on what the rate is, to pay it off or not.
Yeah, we'll do a cost benefit analysis on which way we want to lean, and then we'll present both options to you guys.
Thank you. Any more questions on this slide? Okay. Here's a breakdown, and again, this is in really small print here. That's difficult to read, again, for your reference prior to our board meeting here. But this is a breakdown of our revenue by customer class. And down here at the bottom are the totals, and we've enlarged those on the next slide here. So if you look here at the May column right here, which is our current month, down here at the bottom, highlighted in light blue, this is our monthly cost of power for May, which was 4.8 cents. And then our monthly revenue, 10.7 cents. And then our average cost for 2024 is currently 5 cents. And do we have any additional questions? This side. Okay, and that concludes my presentation. Unless you have any further questions.
Any other questions?
I have a trivial question. Back on the first slide, on line number one.
Okay.
Why would the budget for 2024 be below 2023 actual?
So why would the budget for, see if I understand your question.
$16,414,000, and last year was $16,623. It just seems strange that we would expect to.
Line A and C, the difference.
Oh, okay. For our revenues. Why we would. So that's a great question, Mr. Russ. So.
I love it.
So here we go. So
I wanted to test you.
Okay, we'll see if I can answer for you.
All right.
So we budgeted last year in 2023 for 2024. This was our current budget. So there's a couple things that contribute to that. Two that I like to mention. One contributing factor is the weather. So the weather is always changing. We can't predict it. And so when we have higher temperatures, that drives up our revenue and also drives up our costs. So in 2023, at the same period of this year, compared to last year, we have higher temperatures than we did in 2023. So temperature always, and the weather always contributes to that.
This would indicate you were expecting cooling.
There's one other.
Yeah.
I told Jonathan, if they ask you any questions about budget, you can't say, well, my boss wasn't a good budgeter. So he's trying very eloquently to not say.
Before we get to that, if down at the bottom, we budgeted lower and we were higher. And then, yeah, same here. So one
of the reasons that we budget less than we did for our actual for 2023 is, first off, to be conservative on revenue. We want to ensure that if we have a mild weather year, that we haven't overstated what we believe we're going to bring in revenue. The other thing is that at the first quarter of 2023, we had large billable jobs that came in that are non-electric revenue, and that's included in that, and we did not foresee those same level of jobs closing at this time in 2024, so we didn't account for those in that revenue.
Pretty good memory.
Yes.
Thank you.
I also have a question on that page. Line 6 and 7, I notice the expenses are significantly higher this year. Mm-hmm. Significantly. Mm-hmm. Hundreds of thousands of dollars. Mm-hmm. Is there some reason why? All that money, that should go to the general manager, right?
Yeah,
he's spending the money, not you guys.
I can tell you specifically on line 7, I have asked the construction crews to focus more on maintenance. And Corey reports those audits that they do. And so as they go out and do the audits to ensure that everything is sound in our system, they're finding more things that we need to repair. And so that drives up those maintenance. Yes, it does.
Cost of materials.
Yeah. Cost of materials and labor. So
be sure to tell the next year budgeting person that you're going to have to work harder.
I think there's also a couple of other things. There's internal labor costs are up, of course. And then also we have, if you remember that last year, we had a very wet year. And a record wet year. So this year, we're seeing that our vegetation management has had to increase significantly for our right-of-way clearing. And so, and that goes directly.
I had to have sweat.
Really? Did you jargon?
I haven't talked about it yet.
Can you be right? Okay, thank you. Yes. Thank you.
Thank you, Jonathan.
Any other questions? Comments?
Good.
Okay.
Thank you,
Jonathan. Appreciate it. Okay, item H, review and possible approval of OPD 5 connection fees and substation fee policy, OPD-S-8.309.
Are you taking this?
For possible action.
Do you want me to?
Yeah.
Sure. Okay, every year, we have this on our schedule to review our connect fees annually. We sometimes wait about a year and a half depending on when prices come in and when we see fluctuations. This is a fee that we're based on. It's twofold. One, we look at what is the amount of plant that we've put into the system, and then also what contributions have been made. And the other portion of that is, what does it cost for us to build a substation now? We've seen those costs increase. We've been monitoring that and then made the decision internally that it's now time for us to review that. So as you can see here, we have suggested that we go, the calculation rose from $327, if you look in the middle of the page, $327 to $403 using our 2023 year-end values. That was based on a policy on our calculations that you will see later in here. Our substation fee, when we calculated that, only changed $1. Part of the reason for that is that when we looked at our new substations that we've built recently, they've actually been larger. The cost has increased, but so has the capacity. So when we put those numbers together, you can see that now a single phase 200 amp, 100 to 240 volt residential service will pay an additional $364 in fees. That is about a $75 change in that connection fee, but we wanted to make you guys aware of what does that truly mean to our customers. If they come in and do that connection, they will see a $364 increase in those fees. And then the cost for each residential service will increase from $1,569 to $1,934. And Stephen, if you want to scroll down for me, please.
Keep going. That's the original, the previous.
There we go. Oh, if you can go back up a little bit. There, this just gives you the calculations that we did of changing from the prior years. And then if you just scroll through, please, Stephen. You can see that it changed our calculations based on the size of the transformers and came up with those numbers. We would propose that if this increase is approved by you, that we would make that effective tomorrow. Any of the connect fees and estimates that we give to our customers have a 90-day period that they're valid. And so anybody who has a connect fee as of today, those would still, we would still honor all of those. But any new estimates that start tomorrow would be at the new rate.
So do we let Pulte or any of those people know of that?
Mm-hmm. We, after our staff meeting last week, Randall asked his staff to reach out and notify our larger contractors so that they are made aware of that. And then, of course, this is posted for public information last week. So, Stephen, will you go back up to the first page, please?
Does anybody have further comments or questions?
What directly drove that $364?
So the increase would be the cost of supplies and materials that we're purchasing as part of our plant is increasing, and then the cost to build substations has increased as well. So as we start looking at those costs and seeing that it costs more for us to provide that connection, then the connection fee itself needs to increase as well.
When's the last time it went up?
It was,
wasn't it last time?
Yeah, we did it last year, so, but I believe it was.
I think it's been 18 months. I'm sorry, Stephen.
Oh, back up. So February.
Oh, so it's been
22.
It's been 2 years, yeah.
2022.
Yeah.
And that's about the time that we've had all these changes and delays and supplies. Mm-hmm. 2.5 years.
Cost increases,
yeah,
for sure.
Everything's changed. Okay, do I hear a motion?
I move we accept the new proposal for the substation fee and connection fee adjustment.
Effective?
Effective immediately.
Tomorrow.
Or tomorrow.
June
20th.
I heard you.
Okay, thanks.
Okay, it's been moved. Do I hear a second?
I'll second it.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded for approval of OPD 5 state substation fee and connection fee policy OPD 5-S-08.309 effective 6/20/24 as presented. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed?
Okay. One little footnote here.
Yes.
Here's the policy, and I notice you don't have all those numbers in there, which is kind of neat because we're just changing the policy. And I don't think we want people arguing about one number or another. And it just says, here's the new fees, essentially.
Right.
So that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
As opposed
They're
to
smart that
what
way.
We were looking at, which had all sorts of different numbers and things. So.
Okay, we go on to item I. Review and possible approval of OPD 5 Identity Theft Protection Policy. OPD-P-17.102 for possible action.
So we periodically go through our policies, and when we have a policy that hasn't been addressed for a while, we bring that to the board when we have opportunities like today when we don't have a lot of different things on the agenda. So one of the policies that we reviewed in our staff meeting was the Identity Theft Prevention Policy. That's easier.
Say it three fat, time fast.
Wow. It's hard to spit out.
You better have me listen to that.
Might have to. So we reviewed the policy. We didn't find a tremendous amount to change in this. Stephen, will you just bring up that policy? You can see that we The heading needed to be changed because we had the old logo. The last time that this policy was addressed was in 2016. So a lot of changes on the logo on the top portion of the policy. We went through the policy, changed everything from the district to OPD 5. And then as you go down through that policy, we changed relevant staff to customer service, representative CSRs. And then we struck the last sentence in the policy, I believe, yes, about medical information. We don't collect medical information. We're not going to. And so those are the updates that we saw that would be relevant for this policy.
Does anybody have questions or comments?
I also did include the FTC red flags rule. I was just curious how many of you went through the 78 pages or whatever that was and read that. We patterned our policy after that just to make sure we get the relevant parts.
Make sure we're good?
Yeah.
Okay. I'll make a motion that we approve the staff recommendations.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded to approve OPD 5 Identity Theft Prevention Policy, OPD 5-P-17.102 as presented. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. Is there any public comments? Yes.
I have a few questions about the solar facility, which I'm hating, but what is OPD's point of metering out there, the connection? Does that come in on the transmission to this substation?
Are you okay if I answer that?
Yeah. I'm just curious.
The facility is located in Lincoln County, so they will connect to Lincoln County's transmission system.
So they're going to build a line from Lincoln?
No, they'll connect it to the existing line that goes out to the water wells and to the landfill. So they'll connect to that, and we'll install a new set of meters right at the county line once that project is done so that we can meter that as well.
Okay. What would be metering? The transmission?
Yes, the transmission, yes.
And then we're going to be buying, what, 35 megawatts?
We have a contract for 25 megawatts. Yes, sir.
Okay. So that'll be metered at that point.
That's correct. So, and it's going to be metered by direction. So we meter the load that goes out to Lincoln County, and then anything that's put back on our system, that meter will pick up those readings.
Okay. And we're going to have a tiebreaker out there to disconnect from them.
So we have a switch where we can disconnect, but any electronic gear that will isolate that system will be on the Lincoln County side, and that's for them to decide.
Okay. You don't have any input?
No, we don't.
Control of. Okay. How about their station service? Do we have any idea that they may require?
Lincoln County is feeding that out of their substation. So, again, that's nothing to do with us.
Where do they connect in?
So, Lincoln County connects up that line that goes out to Lincoln County. It changes possession once it crosses the county line. So, they're going to use that same transmission line, but it's used by both of us, by Lincoln and Overton.
Okay, so that's the line that's running out to the dump.
That's correct. Yeah, they'll use that existing line.
There's no separate line actually going up to Lincoln County?
No.
So how are we parsing out the 25 megawatts that you're using?
Well, they will.
What's going on to the grid?
So what they'll do is they'll generate a certain amount, which will be metered by Lincoln County, and we'll know how much goes onto our system, and it's going to be more than 25 megawatts. And we will take our 25 megawatts and everything else goes through our system, and we charge them a fee for using our system. When it gets to Moapa, it will transfer onto the Nevada Power System, and we'll meter it there as well.
Okay.
How long does it take to get
yes.
there?
One 1,000, two 1,000.
Yeah, they didn't put some gas turbines out there. The gas line runs right there. Forget that solar. Tearing up the countryside.
Well, you know, that's been some discussion too, but yeah. And we would still like to see something like that happen eventually.
Let's OPD do it. I got some money.
Scoot up to the table.
I got a pen.
I could write a check for it. But I want to thank OPD. You guys do a great job. You know, the service areas. Incredible, the cost to the customer. It's really
well. Thank you. We appreciate that. And
I heard at one time NV Energy was trying to muscle their way in here. And we don't want that.
No, we don't.
No. We'll buy some power from them, but we don't want to.
We don't even want to buy power from them.
That's why we need the gas turbines.
That's right. That's right.
And I could go back to words. Thank you.
Thank you for your questions.
And thank you. It's nice sometimes to hear the nice feedback.
We really appreciate that. We have a good team. Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely.
Any other public comments? Any board comments?
I had a couple of people talk to me with concerns or about, I've talked to Mendes too about this, about power poles that are left up after the system's been, our system's went underground. And what happens there is the cable, and I think mainly cable people, have been using our lines and they pay a fee for that, or using our poles to hang their lines on. And so in Bunkerville, we just had a bunch go down, and people were like, oh, I'm all excited, they're going to get this power pole out from their driveway. And they have to stay up because TDS, these guys have their wires still up. So I wondered if we could, I don't know, maybe this needs to be an agenda item for another day, but I wanted to get some input and if there's a possibility of putting some force on them to get them out. And if there should be a policy change or if there is a policy on that. Is that something we should talk about in another meeting, an agenda item? Or?
Well, it may be something that we want to talk about. The solutions aren't very elegant because when we take it out, Randall, do you usually give them a time frame to get them out?
We do. The problem they're having in Bunkerville is trying to work with Clark County to go underground. So they're having some issues just trying to get permitting to do that. So they're telling us they're trying, but they don't try very hard. We're talking about TDS, and their history is slow. We give them, in our contract, we give them so many days to do that, and then we have the option of taking it down and charging them for that. So if push comes to shove, we can review that agreement, and we can, you know, look at some of those situations.
But our solutions are to leave the pole there. And we usually cut the top off, and we don't call it a power pole anymore. Then it's a cable pole. but our only other solution is just to lay it out on the ground, which is, you know,
not good.
Yeah, that's not good either. So
they can either take care of it or pull service from that area. So it was kind of their choices.
Yeah.
Right. So who's liable for the pole at that point?
Yeah, we still are.
So maybe we could have in the policy something like once we remove our power, within so many days, the cost is going to go, so TDS is incentivized to do something instead of just a cheap battery.
Maybe in August or September, you guys can give us some ideas to...
2024.
Okay, how about by the end of 2024, you just give us some options.
End of 2024, okay.
I don't know how many, I'm kind of curious, like, not that many people, I don't know, I'm curious how many people that would affect to have them out of there.
And see, that's another thing, Bob, is now the people that are on cable, and then we say, well, OPD's forcing cable away, now they don't have it, so is that another PR issue for us? I mean, so we got to address this in an eloquent manner when we're doing that.
That's why it needs to go, so everybody that knows, like, I wouldn't have thought of that, but.
Yeah. Raising the rate, though, periodically. Incentivize them to move.
Well, and I think that's a really good solution because we've seen year after year that less and less people are using our poles. We haven't updated our rate for a number of years, and it's incredibly cheap. It's like $2 a pole or something like that.
Per year?
Per year.
Why have they ever done it?
Yeah,
why? Well, we've changed it.
A lot more changed. How much is it now?
I need to review the agreement. It's been over 2 years.
Okay.
We can review that. We'll address that. We'll go. We can have a report on the agreement.
Well, we can talk about that in August, September.
Maybe November. Some penalties that after that time frame.
End of 2024. We'll get.
Like, we'll send Melissa over to take care of you if you don't. Okay. Thanks, Bob. That's a good.
Thanks, Bob. That's wonderful.
No, it really is because we try to get the lines to be going underground. So,
like OPD's the one gets a black eye for having the line up, not TDS.
Yeah. And if the pole goes bad and they start to lean, we have to go fix it.
Exactly.
And, yeah.
What do you get from that?
Yeah.
$2.
No, he said we raised it. Yeah, it's, now it's $3.50.
Any other comments by the board? Questions? Okay. Approval of the next board meeting, August 21st, 2024, 3 p.m. here in Mesquite.
I'll second that motion.
Okay, I move. Okay, it's been moved and seconded that our next meeting is August 21st here in Mesquite. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, and I have been informed we do have executive session.
Yes, we do.
Just a few minutes, though.
Yes.